But how to do that? We need the mercy of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to teach us that Kurmadev, he will give us a stable foundation to sustain our Krishna consciousness and build a whole lifetime of devotional service upon it. I would be safe to say that we all have enough realization of the power of Maya to know how helplessly we are without the mercy of the Lord. That is why bhakti is so powerful. Other processes of yoga or religion are dependent on our own intellectual capacity, our own abilities to perform tapasya, the ascending processes of jnana yoga, karma yoga, astanga yoga. They're very dangerous. Therefore, Sripad Shankaracharya basically said, don't even come to me to hear my teachings until you take sannyas. Because the household ashram, there's too many obstructions. If you want to follow his path, you have to first become renounced from everything of this world. But then you cannot achieve love of God through that path. You cannot even achieve real spiritual purity. But the path of bhakti is not dependent on anything but the causeless mercy of the Lord. And there is nothing so powerful as the mercy of the Lord. We are dependent on that mercy alone. And how to attract that mercy? Through humble devotional service. Kurmadev is that wonderful, merciful form of the Lord that gives us a strong foundation to keep us from sinking into the ocean of material existence, as the Mandara Mountain was saying, to hold us up so we can continue on hearing, chanting, serving devotees throughout our whole lives. There will be ups and downs. There will be joys and sorrows. Sometimes the mind feels like it's living in Vaikuntha. And other times it feels like it's residing in the darkest regions of hell. It's the nature of the mind. So let us pray to Sri Kurmadev and the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that include all avatars, to keep us always situated in that safe zone of his lotus feet. Let us pray that we never give up this chanting of the holy names of the Lord. We never betray our vows. Srila Prabhupada explained where Kurmadev's mercy really is. He said the only safe place in the entire creation is where the devotees come together to chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Krishna Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
Thank you very much.
On June 3, 1999, the second day of the yatra, devotees came to Simhachalam. After an ecstatic kirtan, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj spoke on the significance of this holy shrine.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Yeah.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Yeah.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Charya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purvarite Prabhu Age Kamana Karila Jiyada Narasimha Kshetre Katati Negela. According to his previous program, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went forward on his tour, and after some days arrived at the place of pilgrimage known as Jiyada Narasimha. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Jiyada Narasimha temple is situated on the top of a hill about 5 miles away from Vishakhapatnam. There is a railway station on the South Indian Railway known as Singhachala. The temple known as Singhachala is the best temple in the vicinity of Vishakhapatnam. This temple is very affluent and is a typical example of the architecture of the area. In one stone tablet it is mentioned that formerly a queen covered the deity with gold plate. This is mentioned in the Vishakhapatana Gazetteer. About the temple, there are residential quarters for the priests and devotees. Indeed, at the present moment, there are many residential quarters to accommodate visiting devotees. The original deity is situated within the depths of the temple. But there is another deity, a duplicate, known as the Vijayamurti. This smaller deity can be moved from the temple and taken on public processions. Priests who generally belong to the Ramanuja Sampradaya are in charge of the deity worship. Narasimha dekhiya koila dandavat pranati premaveshi koila bahu. After seeing the deity, Lord Narasimha, in the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respectful obeisances by falling flat. Then, in ecstatic love, he performed various dances, chanted, and offered prayers. Sri Narasimha, Jai Narasimha, Jaya Jai Narasimha.
Sri Narasimha, Jai Narasimha, Jaya Jai Narasimha.
Prahlad Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhringa
Kala Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhringa.
Much louder, please. Sri Nirsingha Jai Nirsingha Jai Jai Nirsingha
Sri Nirsingha Jai Nirsingha Jai Nirsingha.
Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhringa
Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhringa.
Sri Nirsingha Jai Nirsingha Jaya Jai Nirsingha
Sri Nirsingha Jai Nirsingha Jaya Jai Nirsingha.
Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhringa
Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhringa.
All glories to Narasingha Dev. All glories to Narasingha Dev, who is the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj, and like the honeybee, is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the Goddess of Fortune. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The Goddess of Fortune is always embraced by Lord Narasingha Dev. This is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first and tenth cantos by the great commentator Srila Sridhar Swami. The following verse was composed by Sridhar Swami in his commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vag isha yasya badane, lakshmir yasya chavakshasi, yasyaste hridaye samvit, tam narasingham aham bhaje. Lord Narasingha Dev is always assisted by Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and he is always embracing to his chest the goddess of fortune. The Lord is always complete in knowledge within himself. Let us offer obeisances unto Narasingha Dev. Similarly, in the commentary on the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sridhar Swami describes Lord Narasingha Dev in this way. Pralada Hridaya Ladham Bhakta Vidya Vidharam Shada Induruchim Bande Parindra Vatanam Harim. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Narasingha Dev, who is always enlightening Prahlad Maharaj within his heart, and who always kills the nescience that attacks the devotees. His mercy is distributed like moonshine, and his face is like that of a lion. Let me offer my obeisances unto him again and again. Ugrokyanugra evayam svabhaktanam drakeshari keshariva svapothanam anyesham ugravikramaha. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasingha Dev is very soft, very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Purport. This verse was composed by Sridhar Swami in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 791. E mata nana shloka padi sruti koila nirsinga sevaka mala prasada anila. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited different verses from the Shastras. The priest of Lord Narasingha Dev then brought garlands and the remnants of the Lord's food and offered them to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Puravavat kona vipre kaila ni mantara seira tritahan rahi korila gaman. As usual, a Brahmin offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu an invitation. The Lord passed the night in the temple and then commenced his tour again. Singhachalam. which is the abode of Jyarat Narasimha, is considered by Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as well as those of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, to be most famous and powerful deity of Sri Lord Narasimhadev. Great acharyas have come here throughout the ages to offer their prayers and worship to this beautiful form of the Lord. Lord Narasimhadev particularly is worshipped to remove obstacles from the spiritual path. For by doing so, the Lord protects his devotee. A devotee is not so much concerned with protecting their physical life, because in the passing of time, it will perish. This is inevitable. The body is a temple of the Lord. Therefore, to maintain it for the worship of the Lord, we try according to our means to keep, as Prabhupada would say, body and soul together as far as possible. To keep body and soul together. That means to keep the body fit in such a way that the soul can be accommodated by this body. The purpose of the soul is to serve Krishna. That is our constitutional position. For a devotee, without using this body for the purpose of the soul, devotional service, then this body is quite useless. It really has no value. Materialistic people are very, very attentive to keep their body healthy and fit for the purpose of sense gratification. Sense gratification simply binds the soul in greater and greater bondage and suffering. So what is the use of having a body that is only going to further incriminate your soul in sinful activities? Therefore, it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Yani sha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyane yasyam jagarti bhutani sani sha pashyato mane. What is night for the ordinary person is day for the self-controlled. And what is day for the materialistic man is night for the introspective sage. The whole view of the world is opposite between a transcendentalist and a materialist. A transcendentalist is very much trying to maintain a sleepy condition toward material enjoyment, and always very, very attentive and awake toward austerity. Tapodivyam, it is explained in Bhagavatam. Tapodivyam bhutakabham. What is that he is awake toward performing austerity for the pleasure of Krishna. And at the same time, a materialistic person is always trying to avoid austerities in order to enjoy more and more this material body. Thus, when a devotee prays to Lord Narasimhadev for protection, we are praying for the Lord to protect us from wasting this human form of life, even for a moment, by indulging in sense gratification. To fall down from the principles of devotional service is worse than death. We are praying to the Lord to protect us from falling prey to Maya. And we will pray that this body can be sustained as long as the Lord wants to sustain our body for His service. I remember in the mid-70s, sometimes His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada would become very ill physically. At that time, He actually instructed His devotees all over the world to have 24-hour kirtan, and especially pray to Lord Narasimhadev that if it is your desire, we never demand something to the Lord. But Prabhupada specifically told us to pray, if it is your desire, my Lord, please give our spiritual master strength and health to stay with us. Because Srila Prabhupada was here for the purpose of helping us to overcome the allurements of Maya and remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. So we would have 24-hour kirtan for days and days at a time until His health would become a little better. Then when the news came, everyone became very, very happy and grateful to Lord Narasimhadev and Sri Sri Radha Krishna for saving us by keeping that association with Srila Prabhupada. So, praying to the Lord, we have to understand what is real protection. We should pray that the Lord protects us from falling down mentally, physically, through our words, to service to Maya, the illusory energy, and protect our vows in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, we want to pray to the Lord to protect other Vaishnavas and to protect this great mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya from all of the aggressive attacks which will undoubtedly come in this age of Kali Yuga. Fact is, today is a very auspicious particular time in history because there's so much chaos in the world. For a materialistic person, it is very inauspicious. And for a devotee, it is always also inauspicious if we fall prey to the various confusions that are taking place. But if the environment around us helps us to take shelter of Krishna, it is very auspicious. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natesham. This is a world where there is danger at every step, at every moment. We do not know what is happening within our own bodies. There may be all sorts of disease cells just ganging together and taking over, and you think that you're in perfect health. And then one day, when you find out, it's too late. What to speak of the world around us? All you hear about in the news, in Europe and America, is the battle taking place in this Yugoslavian province, Kosovo. Have any of you heard of this here in India? Even in this far distant land of India, you have heard. There's tens and thousands of perhaps hundreds and thousands of forces all around bombing this place. Meanwhile, within the country itself, there's murder, rape, there's all kinds of criminal thieving going on. There's one girl in New Vrindavan. She's wife of one of our god brothers, and her mother and whole family lives in the capital of Serbia. And she's every day getting phone calls about the different bombs going off and the different people getting killed and the different bridges being blown up. And they think that NATO and the American and British alliance is demons for attacking them. Meanwhile, a few miles away in Kosovo, they're thinking the Serbians are demons who are attacking, and they're hoping that NATO will save them. So according to where you particularly take your birth, you'll have a whole world view that is completely relative to your particular bodily condition. Who's right and who's wrong? In this material world, everyone has their arguments, their philosophies, their way of debating to prove that you are wrong and I am right. And they are very much concerned. In fact, one of the heads of state of Russia has said if this goes on, it will become World War III. In World War II, how many people know how many people were killed in World War II? Over 50 million people were killed in World War II. That is a statistic. Well over 50 million people were killed in World War II. Almost that many in World War I. The Civil War in America, which was the North and the South, I believe there was even more people killed. Just Americans killing Americans. And in those days, all they had was guns to shoot. They dropped two bombs, nuclear bombs, in World War II. In little island places in Japan. But now, there are so many nations with big, big, big nuclear bombs. The United States alone has thousands upon thousands of them, as does Russia, as does France, as does England, as does China, as does India, and also Pakistan. And other nations as well. If there is a World War III, 50 million will be a very, very low figure. Here, of course, you know in Africa, there's always wars going on at every moment. They happen so often, you hardly even hear about it. But we have devotees who are serving in different African countries, and when you get mail from them, you hear what's happening. There's revolutions, there's political, military takeovers, there's bloodsheds, there's tens and thousands of people being just murdered mercilessly. But you hardly hear about it, because it's just so common, and Africa's so far away, that it really doesn't even sell newspapers. What you read about in the newspaper is the news that sells newspapers. Every day in India, in the newspapers, practically we read about skirmishes taking place in Kashmir. Sometimes they don't even write about it because people are tired of hearing it. But in the West, they never say anything about it because nobody cares. But now, it's come to the extent between India and Pakistan and Kashmir, it's come to that glorious point where it's made the newspapers of America. You know it must be a serious battle going on. In fact, it is, according to some analysis, that this is the worst fighting that has taken place since the two wars between India and Pakistan. Srila Prabhupada said many years ago that very likely a World War III will begin by India and Pakistan fighting. And you know, whatever bombs that Pakistan has, they're already pointed specifically at their targets of the major cities of India. And probably America and Russia and everybody, they have their bombs pointed practically everywhere. And these people are not self-controlled sages. Once they start pushing their buttons and the bombs start going off, we do not know. This is the situation of the world today. And what kind of diseases there are. In Bombay alone, our Dr. Solanki explained that so many thousands of people are contracting AIDS each and every day. Cancer. Practically everybody you know knows somebody who has died of cancer. How many people here know somebody who has died of cancer? Everywhere. However, according to the medical experts of the West, they claim in the 21st century, the most miserable disease that will kill more people than cancer or AIDS or anything else, hepatitis C is bigger than cancer and AIDS now. It's growing, growing, growing. But that is even small. They say the disease that will cause the greatest misery and death in the 21st century is mental illness. Because people are in so much terrible distress, anxiety. The world is such a miserable condition where there's so much pressure just to survive. And there's such a barrage of terrible, terrible anxieties that are put in people's minds. The biggest news in America, even bigger than Kosovo, is children murdering each other in the high schools. This has become a regular practice, where little children, 14, 15, 16 years old, they go to high school, but instead of having their books in their bags, they have machine guns. But pistols. In Colorado, how many, 20 people or so were murdered by their students. They even killed their teachers. They just come into the classroom. It's happened about 4 times in the last year. This has never happened before in the history of America. Children in school murdering each other with guns. Mass murders. They don't know what to do with it. People are watching their Star TVs and they're seeing all this violence and they think that violence is very good. It's heroic. They become so much completely usurped by the modes of passion and ignorance that even little children, they imitate their role models. If their role models are shooting people with guns, they will shoot people with guns. They just did, just a few days ago, in the United States of America, they did a test of what little children 4 years old will do if they find guns. It was in a nursery school where the teacher left the class with two little children, a boy and a girl, and they just had things laying around on the tables where there usually are toys. So what happened is they put a real pistol, a real gun on one table. And then they had bullets on another table. And then they had so many other toys in between. So the children immediately, they didn't go to any other toys. They went to the real gun and they knew exactly how to shoot it. The little girl, 4 years old, picked it up and put it to the head of the boy and started going, psh, 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 psh. Luckily it wasn't loaded. And then she saw the bullets. And she actually started loading the bullets in it. She knew how to do it. Just from watching television. This is what the world is coming to. And you know what is the politics. The people who are the heads of state, who are supposed to control and protect the citizens. Kshatriya means those who protect one. They're fighting so much that governments are just falling apart everywhere, all over the world. And even in the Hare Krishna movement, so many attacks, so many propagandas of ambitious people who are trying to prove their controversial points and who want to just take over and contaminate people's minds like anything. And the result of all this different controversy, poison controversy, Ritvik controversy, this, so many controversies, they are all simply agents of Maya trying to destroy people's faith. Because without faith, there can't be a real taste for devotional service. If you're hearing, if you're chanting, if you're offering some service, if you have faith, those activities bring you immense fulfillment and joy. That joy is enough to give you the strength to say no to material energy, which proposes so many sinful materialist activities too. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that when we experience a higher taste, we can give up the lower urges for material enjoyment. But without faith, our devotional activities do not give us a higher taste. If you're chanting the holy name in kirtan and you have faith that Krishna is in his name, what kind of joy that will bring you? But if your faith is confused, if you really don't have faith that Krishna is in his name, you will not get inner joy. Similarly, when we are amongst devotees, if we have some faith in the importance of the association of devotees and the good qualities of the Vaishnavas, it brings us an inner fulfillment and joy being in their association. But if we have no faith in devotees, then what happiness will be in the inner association? We'll simply be finding faults, we'll be criticizing, we'll be confused. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, for a person who doubts, there can be no happiness in this world or the next. Arjuna addressed Krishna as Madhusudan because he had doubt. Madhusudan Srila Prabhupada explains, is Krishna who will kill the demon of doubt. Faith comes by associating with devotees. Faith is the very basis and the essence of our spiritual lives. To the degree we have faith, to that degree we have Krishna. In the Christian world, Jesus Christ said, if you have faith, even the size of a mustard seed, you can tell the mountain to move into the ocean and the mountain will move. Therefore, it is said, faith can move mountains. There is no greater power in all creation than faith in God. But what happens when a devotee has no faith? That devotee cannot continue his sadhana for very long. Because there's too many reasons not to do your sadhana. There's too many alternative arrangements by which we can engage our senses and our mind. Our spiritual advancement progresses according to the development of faith. If you're serious about Krishna consciousness, you will associate with those who will help uplift your faith. And you will avoid worse than the plague, the association of those who are trying to destroy your faith. And yet, in this age of Kali, even devotees, in the name of speaking the truth, the facts, they want to completely destroy each other's faith. And such people may claim to have faith themselves. But what is their sadhana? What is their taste for hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna? We can judge them by a result. So within the Hare Krishna movement, there are campaigns, there are groups that are trying to somehow or other very, very systematically confuse people and disturb their faith. And then what do we have? We don't have a spiritual movement, we have a political movement. There's already so many political movements. We see all over the world, practically every major religion has been downtrodden and devastated by political motivations. It's no surprise. Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. But somehow or other, if we individually and collectively want to make spiritual advancement, we have to remain simple. We have to remain attached to the hearing of the glories of the Lord, the chanting of the names of the Lord, and faith in the association of Vaishnavas. And whatever has happened in the past does not change that reality. It doesn't matter how many people have cheated or fallen down. Still, if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to have faith in the association of devotees. You have to have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, which is not to criticize others, but to glorify Krishna, his devotees, and always chant his holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare
scientists to make bigger and greater, more sophisticated bombs to devastate cities. In the same way, that Kali will empower people, even in the robe of Vaishnavas, to create very, very systematic, convincing, scientific evidence to destroy our taste for hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna and his devotees. It is the same power coming from the same place. And every person justifies his or her purposes. In World War II, there was Adolf Hitler. He convinced the entire German public of his cruel, atrocious activities. He justified it. He was expert. He was empowered by Kali. Not the entire German public. Most people are just simple people. They don't know what to think. That's the way the common people are all over the world. And if you think too much and disagree, then you become an enemy and have to be eliminated. So justification will always be there. But we have a very simple bottom line. Whatever you're saying, whatever you're doing, will it help me to develop a taste for hearing and chanting? Will it help me to become a more humble servant? If not, I don't care if it's true or not. I will go to that place where I will get it. That's all. We have come to this mission. We have given up so much of this world, not to again be battered by the confusions and the doubts of material existence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us that Krishna is not different than his name. Wherever we find an environment that will help us to take shelter of the name, that is glorious. But we're all under attack on every level, inside and outside. Everywhere. That is the nature of this world. We pick up the newspapers. What do we read? How many places do we see on the front page a wonderful Sunday feast festival with nice preparations made and good kirtan? Does that ever make the front page? Front page of Times of India. Headlines. 10,000 people come to Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Temple for Sunday program to have darshan of Radharas Bihari. Is that there? But that's really news! But no one cares. 800 people come to Radha Gopinath's temple in Chopati, Bombay. Everyone is chanting, dancing. Govinda played Murdanga, Srinivas sang another single prayer. This is brotherly love. Devananda Pandit Prabhu, he arranged so many nice preparations. Halava, rice, Nalpur's sabji with spinach, potatoes, and tomatoes. We don't find this. We find child kills her mother, bombs dropping in Kashmir, some gangsters are killing each other in the streets of Bandra. This is what we do. Does that elevate our consciousness? Does it give us a taste for chanting the holy names? It may be true, but it's useless. Srila Prabhupada once said, he was talking to some very big people. He was talking about how these young American and European boys and girls He said, they're so much engrossed in reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, they don't even care about reading the newspapers. It's shocking! For a materialistic person to hear this, it's unbelievable. They don't like reading the newspapers. When we read the newspapers, we don't get enlightened or enlivened. Nobody does. We may look at them just to see what's going on so that we can understand what we're up against. But materialistic people, they are eager. Just as when we wake up, we run to take our bath and run to see the deities of Radha Gopinath, Radha Kunja Bihari, Radha Ras Bihari. We run with our beads in our hands to chant, dance, and japa, Srimad Bhagavatam. Practically with the same intensity, people run to their front door to get their newspaper. It's a fact. All prajalpa. Faith is the essence of our Krishna consciousness. Who is a real friend? That person who helps substantiate your faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. And however many problems devotees have had, still we want to develop faith in the association of Vaishnavas. Without that, we cannot survive. So when we pray to Lord Narasimhadev for protection, we are praying to him to protect individually, collectively, our friends, our family members, our society, to protect our faith. Protect our enthusiasm. Protect our vows. Protect us from falling into Maya. Devotional service is our life. This physical body is not our life. This physical body is just a dead shell. Let it be used to express our life's desire, our soul's desire, to glorify Krishna, to chant his names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Because we cannot do it ourselves. Prahlad Maharaj was just a five-year-old little boy. He was living in the palace of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the Asuras. Such a powerful Asura, due to the benedictions of Lord Brahma, he was able to conquer even Indra, the king of the heavens. Vayu, Agni, Surya, Kuvera, even Narada Muni. They would all obey whatever order he dictated. What a demon. Right now, all of you, you may think you're very big, powerful devotees and you're fanning each other with fans. Hiranyakashipu, even in the month of May, he didn't have to fan himself. He just ordered Vayu, wind, or you die. I want 20 degrees Celsius. Immediately. Just his word would dictate what the world's thermometer would be set to. That was his power. When he raised his eyebrow, even the great gods who control the universal affairs of the universe, they would tremble in fear. And little Prahlad, small child, what protection did he have from Hiranyakashipu? He was fearless. He was totally fearless because he had faith in his spiritual master, Narada Muni, and he had faith in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who dwells within everyone's heart. On the basis of that faith, he could tell his father, "You are a fool. You're too much attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, you are wasting your life. You should leave all this kingdom behind and go to Vrindavan and worship Krishna. You should hear the glories of the Lord and chant his name, worship him. Follow the 9 processes of devotional service. Then your life will be perfect." Hiranyakashipu was so angry with Prahlad. He was so threatened by Prahlad's very existence. This is the mentality of a person who has control over others. The more you control over other people, if there's anyone, anywhere that you cannot control, you fear them. We're thinking the more control we have, the more fearless will we become. Just the opposite. Because you see the world through your own mentality. Hiranyakashipu, his mentality was, whatever I strength, I will control others with whatever strength I have. So he's thinking, everyone thinks like that. And this little Prahlad, if I cannot destroy him, that means he has more strength than me. That means he will want to control me. So I have to destroy him now. So we know the story. Hiranyakashipu with his Rakshasa servants, they brought Prahlad to this place, which is now called Vishakhapatnam. Just a few kilometers from here is the sea. Hiranyakashipu and his servants, they took Prahlad, little tiny boy of 5 years old. They brought him deep into the sea. They threw him in the water. Then they took a mountain to cover him, to keep him down. Prahlad Maharaj was not afraid of death. His only fear was to forget Krishna. Chanting the holy name of Krishna, Krishna always protects his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared before Prahlad at this place. He lifted the mountain and personally took Prahlad out from it with his own hands and brought him to safety. We know the story how later on Lord Narasimhadev appeared from the pillar of the palace of Hiranyakashipu. And the very throne that Hiranyakashipu dedicated his life to achieve, that was the place of his death. In the very palace that he performed so much tapasya to gain, at the very doorstep of that palace, Nrsimhadev tore Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Afterward, Prahlad Maharaj came to this place, Singhasanam, because this is one of the places that the Lord performed a great miracle to protect him. He prayed to Lord Nrsimhadeva that I want to worship you and have darshan with you in that form that you killed my uncle, Hiranyaksha, and my father, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, one of the reasons he hated Vishnu so much is because Vishnu appeared in the beautiful form of a boar, Varahadev, to kill his brother, Hiranyaksha. Somehow or other, there was a deep affection between these two demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. From a materialistic point of view, they were very, very loving brothers. They would do anything for each other. Hiranyakashipu wanted to conquer the universe. Hiranyaksha took his, he performed severe tapasya just to help his brother. And with his mace on his shoulder, he went planet to planet to planet, conquering everyone and forcing them to surrender to Hiranyakashipu. If this is how demon brothers are so faithful to each other, how much more God brothers and God sisters should be faithful to each other? So Hiranyaksha won the heart of Hiranyakashipu, fearlessly risking his life, conquering everywhere in all directions just for his brother's glory. Due to his exploitation, it is explained the earth fell to the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean. At that time, Manu and the great rishis approached Lord Brahma. What are we going to do? The earth has sunk to the bottom of the ocean. Brahma began to meditate on the Supreme Lord because he knew that only Krishna can save us. At that moment, the Lord appeared from the nose of Brahma in the form of a little boar, hardly the size of a thumb. He floated into the sky. Soon he grew and grew and grew until he was like a tremendous mountain. The various sages and rishis never saw anything so extraordinary. A boar that was so beautiful. Usually boars are quite ugly animals. Boars are wild pigs, that's all. They're hogs that are wild with tusks. And they're very dangerous as well. And they make horrible sounds. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead took this form of a boar, he had beautiful lotus eyes. He was so beautiful to see that everyone's hearts were enchanted. But they couldn't understand, who is this? What is this? Then the Lord roared. It sounded like a mountain roaring. And they could understand, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has come to protect us. Sri Varahadev dove deep into the ocean of Garbhodak, went all the way to the bottom. He assumed such a form that he could lift the entire earth and balance it between his two tusks. On the way, Hiranyaksha challenged him to a fight. The Lord floated the earth atop the ocean, put it in a safe position, and then fought with Hiranyaksha. It was a great fight. It lasted quite a while. Hiranyaksha, he was beating the Lord with his club. He was producing all kinds of mystic illusions. But ultimately, Lord Varaha, he, with his hoof, he touched Hiranyaksha behind the ear and then stabbed him with his tusk. And Hiranyaksha fell like a banyan tree that was uprooted by a hurricane. The demigods rejoiced, but Hiranyakashipu declared to everyone, "I will destroy Vishnu. He has killed my brother. My brother will be satisfied when we drink Vishnu's blood after we cut off his head and chop his body to pieces." That was his vow. But ultimately, Lord Narasimhadeva came out of the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu, although he thought he was very great, the Lord completely humiliated him. He treated him like a little play toy. He captured him, he let him go, he captured him, let him go. Like a cat and a little mouse. But in great anger, terrible, terrible anger for the offenses he committed to his little devotee Prahlad, Narasimhadeva was roaring. His tongue was like a dueling sword. His eyes were like red hot fire. With his nails, he tore open the abdomen of Hiranyakashipu. So Prahlad, as explained by Lord Chaitanya, he saw Narasimhadeva as the most gentle, soft-hearted, loving father. Although Hiranyakashipu saw him as death personified. Yegatam antapadyante tamstitayatapasamya. Krishna reveals himself according to our consciousness. So Lord Prahlad Maharaj, here he prayed that I want to see the darshan of your form and worship it, my Lord. That form that killed my uncle, Hiranyaksha, and then killed my father, Hiranyakashipu. So just to please Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord assumed the beautiful form of this deity. Varaha Nrisimha. He has the face of Lord Varahadev, and he has a body like Lord Nrisimhadev. Body of a man, but with the claws and the tail of a lion. Prahlad Maharaj began to worship this deity that was self-manifested before him here with great, great devotion. In fact, he even built a small temple around the deity. Later on, Lord Brahma, he was there when Lord Narasimhadeva appeared. If you remember,